don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The Streets Don't Love You Back.
Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today is March 21st, 2012. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, The Streets Don't Love You Back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight. We have Ms. Whitney Guyton. She's the owner of Flow Consulting. It's a consulting firm that provides licensing services for healthcare organizations to corporations, investors, and nonprofit organizations. She consults regularly with executives from a variety of companies to help create mental health and physical disability services to those in need. Prior to her current position, she also owns Strong Youth Services, a mental health company that provides services for children and teens. Whitney's also had it all and at one point lost it all and has regained it all back. So we're going to hear her story tonight of strength and courage and perseverance. Before we talk to Whitney, let me introduce Boyd to the show.
Yes, thanks everybody for tuning in every Wednesday to the show. And we got a great show tonight. And we just want everybody to just tune in and learn something from this guest as well. Like every week, you learn something from a new guest and the message that they're spreading. So without further ado, we'll turn the mic over to Ms. Guyton and let her formally introduce herself.
Whitney?
Yes, I'm here.
Your turn. go ahead and introduce yourself for the audience.
Well, good evening, everyone. My name is Whitney. Just like Lucinda said, I live here in Portsmouth, Virginia, Eastern Time, so it's about 11:30 here. Basically, as she said, I own a consulting agency and I own a mental health company that helps children and adults. Before I did all of that, as I was talking to Lucinda a couple of days ago, it took a long time to get to where I am today because at one point in time I had lost everything. I thought I was on top of the world and nothing can touch me, but I was quickly humbled down to reality. And I lost my job and everything kind of just went downhill from there. So I went from owning homes and cars and having everything to having everything repossessed and foreclosed. And it took a long time. It took about 3 or 4 years before I was able to get back on top of things. And but I persevered. I persevered through it all.
Right. And growing up, you had both parents. You had a good life. You were taken care of financially. You went to school. You got your education. But it wasn't a story of not having what you needed. You did everything you needed to do, and you still something happened, and it can happen to anybody. We're all a couple of paychecks away from, you know, being homeless or, you know, being on the streets. So, you know, Whitney's story tonight, you know, she's going to talk a little bit about that. She had everything. She went to college. She got her education, and she still, you know, tell us a little bit about how that, what happened.
Well, I went to school, like you said, like, you know, you think you're supposed to do, go to school and graduate. And, of course, I had both my parents. I still have both my parents. And so they put me in school. I'm their first daughter. So they put me through school, and I did right. But I had an air about myself. I was overly confident, overly cocky. I wasn't the best person in the world. So once I got my degrees, I thought, hey, it's just, you know, it's a me-fi-me world. It's all about Whitney. And I should have took care of things a lot better. I shouldn't have spent the money that I did and just blowing it on material things and clothing and cars and shoes, you know, to keep up with the Joneses, I guess, quote unquote. And so I felt like I got humbled really quickly because I lost my job. And once I lost my job, I thought, hey, I got degrees. I got two. Nobody can stop me. I'm untouchable. You know, this is just one job. It's nothing. And a year later, I was still saying, I'm untouchable. It took a while for me to totally understand. It took it for me to be driving down the street, and I pulled over into a 7-Eleven to get something to drink, and the repossession car truck pulled up.
Wow.
And I was taking care of some young boys at the time. They had my heart. I loved them dearly. I have always been there for them, and they needed a place to live. They needed a place to stay. They needed somebody to take care of them because they're both of their parents were strung out on drugs, so I had them. So we were driving down the street, pulling over to a 7-Eleven, and they took the car right then and there.
Wow, that must
have been devastating. It was so devastating, Lucinda, but all at the same time, it was also freeing because I knew we were ditching and dodging, you know, this from happening. So once it actually happened, it was devastating, but it kind of freed me to a little bit because that was the last thing that I was holding on to, that last material thing that I was kind of holding on to.
Right.
And, it took another year, truthfully, of me, you know, going from place to place, house to house, you know, and I had other little jobs between there, but I just didn't hold on to them, and I had to stay on my knees. I had to stay on my knees because I went from being all cocky, nothing can happen to me, to being totally humble. To, you know, I did a whole lot of things that I know I wasn't supposed to do. You know, I finally got like an apartment for a little while. I ended up getting evicted out of that apartment, and the lights were about to get turned off. You know, this was the first time I ever lived in a quote-unquote hood, so I found out how to rig my own electricity, how to put straights in so I can make sure the water is still on. It was, you know, that's how I was living, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, it has to be something that I need to get back to what I know and who I can be.
Right. And living in the hood like that, growing up where you had everything, and a lot of people do have everything, to getting to that situation, living in the hood where also so many people do that on a daily basis, you just to survive, you know, how did that make you feel? What did you feel, you know, when you were going through all that?
The crazy thing about that is my mentality totally changed from what I grew up with. You know, I grew up on the golf course, tennis courts, basketball court, clubhouse type of living. And when this situation was happening to me, my total mindset changed. What I knew that was right totally changed. And I kind of just adapted to the environment in which I was in. You know, when my lights got cut off, my first instinct was, hey, let me go across the street because I know so-and-so knows how to rig this back so I can get my lights back on. It wasn't, let me find out what I can do to get this paid or whatever. It was my first instinct was to just adapt to my environment.
Right. Survival.
So it was just it, survival, you know, and it was crazy. It was really, really, really crazy. But once I got evicted from there, moved back with a friend, then moved from my friend to another friend, and that situation did not work out, and I called my mother. And this is what I was kind of telling you the other day. And I called my mom. I'm like, yo, I need help. I need help. I need help. And I don't have anywhere to stay tonight. You know, I have the boys. I don't have anywhere to go. And my mom's like, I'm going to pay for you a room for the next 2 days. But from there, you're going to have to figure it out. And I'm just like, Mom, why are you doing this to me? And she says, helping you right now is like a drop in a bucket. Because you're not doing anything to edify yourself. You're not doing anything to get yourself out of the situation. helping you is not going to go anywhere, you know. And I was crying, and I'm like, but Mom, I know I have money saved away that you guys saved for me. Why can't I have that? And she's like, you were supposed to have it by now, but I'm not giving it to you until you're 30, maybe even until you're 35, because you're not going to know what to do with it.
Right. And so all that time with me that you were, you know, in the hood and trying to survive, you were still looking for a job, right? I mean,
yes, I was still looking for a job, but I was still looking for a job with a master's degree, but I was not hireable. Because
were you educated, or what do they tell you?
No, well, I got a lot of that. I was way too educated. And then I got, well, because the job that I got, I was supposed to go into an executive position, like I had told you, but I got custody of the boys. So I didn't go into that because I didn't want to just stick them into some type of daycare and all that other type of stuff and not have any time with them. They just lost really their parents. So I went into a counseling position because that's what I am, as a therapist. And I was able to do that because I was coming right out of college. And my school had weight in the area. So they're like, oh, yeah, we'll take you. You're a so-and-so graduate. That's great. But I wasn't able to stay there with any type of longevity to get any type of real experience. So by the time, you know, I was really looking for jobs and things like that, I might have been out of work in my true profession for 2 years with only maybe 6 months of real experience.
Okay.
So a lot of people wouldn't take that, you know, chance on me. But, I mean, it was hard because I got turned down at McDonald's because they're like, you're not going to have, you know, any type of longevity here either because, you know, you are way too educated. And telemarketing jobs, we'll give you a call back, but do you think you'll be able to sit on a phone for 8-9 hours a day? This, that, and the third, when you're used to having your own office and things like that. So I was getting turned around every 5 seconds.
Wow. Yeah.
So it was just really crazy. And I think I also was in the mindset. I did have one position, and I told you that I had one position working as a crisis therapist for people who were diagnosed with HIV. I held on to that for about 6 months before they let me go.
Okay.
So, you know. And I was in the woe is me phase. I didn't want to live. Reckless. And I can't believe it's happened to me. And once I got past the woe is me stage, it was that last, you know, drop in a bucket speech my mom had for me. I got a newspaper and I saw that FedEx was hiring for package handlers at 2:00 in the morning.
Yeah.
So I took it, and that changed my life.
Amen.
All right. You know what? I just wanted to ask you, what took you so long to ask your mom for help? Because I know for me, when I got out on my own and made the wrong choices and got into trouble, my pride didn't let me, you know, move back home or even tell my parents that I was not doing very well or whatever. How was that for you?
Oh, man, pride was not the word. Very prideful and embarrassed. My mom's side of the family my grandparents had 10 kids. All 10 of my aunts and uncles, including my mother, are all successful.
Wow,
not
awesome.
One of them isn't. I mean, I have 2 CPAs, 2 nurses, 2 executives. My mother's a principal. So not one of them, not one,
right,
isn't successful. So me being the first grandchild on my mother's side, me being my dad's first baby girl, and, you know, the one who always got A's and this, that, and the third, I just couldn't call them and say, I'm hurt, I'm down and out, I need help.
Right.
You know, then after a while, I did call and ask for help. And then it got to be like, you know, I called my uncle who lives in California. Hey, Uncle Peter, can you pay a cell phone bill just so I can keep something, you know, my cell phone on to the world, you know, just in case. And call my aunt, you know. I also burned bridges because I called my aunt and kind of finagled a story to get money out of her. And to this day, though, you know, we've mended it, to this day, I think I still kind of devastated her because I was everybody's baby. I was the first grandchild on my mother's side. So I was, you know, I grew up with some of my aunts and uncles.
Right.
And I think...
Go ahead.
No, I'm listening.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, going through those struggles, a lot of times when we burn our bridges, I mean, a lot of times family will just turn their back and say, you know, you lied to me once, you know, it ain't going to happen again, and they'll just completely turn your back. So, you know, if your aunt has even forgiven you and you guys have moved on, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's just not, it hasn't really been the same. She was like,
right.
Yeah, you know, and that's what hurts the most because, you know, we were very close. If I wasn't with my parents, I was with this particular aunt. You know,
right.
She was the one that came and picked me up from school or daycare or anything. And sometimes my parents didn't even know where I was because my Aunt Carolyn came and picked me up. And I'm like, where's the kid? I was, you know, after a while, of course, they just knew I was with her. So it was, you know, to this day, I'm just still apologetic. And she's just like, you know, things happen or whatever have you. And it wasn't like, it was something that was on a continuous basis. But I know in her, it's just not the same. It's just not the same. I wish I could take, you know, those things back, but it's
right.
Just really, really, really not the same. But I will tell anybody that I don't care how far. I mean, I didn't have food, money, anything, and so I've been there, and I understand the struggle. And you just have to totally believe in yourself and believe in a total higher power and humble yourself and also go for goals or do something that you normally wouldn't do. Here I am with a master's degree. I'm a therapist by trade, and I'm slinging packages for FedEx.
Right.
And I did it 2 o'clock, 2 a.m. to 8 a.m., Monday through Saturday.
Wow.
Just
to
make sure.
We have a caller here, Whitney, and I just want the caller to know here the last two digits of your number is 46. We're going to get with you here in just a minute. I just wanted to say something, Whitney. You know, God allows things to happen in time and the way they're supposed to be, I guess. And, if you hadn't have gone through what you went through, you probably wouldn't be where you are today, knowing, I think, all the things that you went through, mentally and physically and psychologically. And, you know, to go from one extreme. I think sometimes people that have everything don't understand what it's like to not have electricity or to not have, you know, gas or to not have food or, you know, to eat macaroni and cheese for a week at a time or, you know, things like that. What do you feel about that?
You're so right. You're so right. I look at the people that are around me on a day-to-day basis because I'm around millionaires almost daily. And even, a couple of billionaires I actually do know. And have absolutely no concept, and some of the things that they say anger me because they have no understanding of anything other than the money that they have.
Right.
So I think it gave me a new sense of purpose. It gave me a new sense of being able to be a blessing to other people. And that's what I've learned in this time is that I am blessed to be a blessing, not just to continue to buy every pair of Jordans or every pair of Christian Dior sunglasses that I really, really like. But, you know, that's just not what it's all about. If you can't bless somebody else, then your life, to me, is purposeless.
Exactly. Well, we appreciate that. And let us go ahead and take this caller and see if they just want to continue listening or if they have a question or a comment for you. We're going to go. Caller, you're on the air. The last four digits of your number, 5246. Oops, sorry. Let me try that again. Okay, now, caller, I have you on the air.
I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. I got you on the right way.
Is this
Welcome
Lucinda?
This is Lucinda.
Oh, this is your friend, Lawrence Roth.
Oh, welcome to the show, Lawrence.
That's a very, very good. How is Rob doing?
Oh, well, I'm great. I'm just sitting here waiting my turn to speak, you know? And we just wanted to say to all the viewers that's listening to the show tonight, we want to give a big shout-out, and we want to throw a big love and a warm welcome to my homeboy, Mr. Lawrence Roth, who introduced us to the young man, Jesse the Razor Reese. So we want to give him a big shout-out about that. And also, Mr. Roth, we will definitely be able to accommodate you Saturday. My wife told me about that. And we have been going over to the Central Gym, visiting Jesse and a couple other young gentlemen that's in the fight. And we just interviewed a young man last night, 14 years old, that's going to be in the Arizona, California thing. So we want to just give you a big shout-out, man, and we appreciate all that you have done, you know?
Well, sir, you and your lovely wife do such wonderful work with the kids, and your show is really fantastic, and I thank you guys for your work, too.
We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Would you like to ask her a question, Mr. Lawrence?
No, sir, I'm just listening, and she's really making a difference with her life, too. What a blessing she is. And thank you very much. I will get the young man down there between 10 and 1. You guys have my number now. You can contact me.
Okay, sounds good. We'll definitely be there, and we have the cameras as well. We'll interview the young man, and also we'll interview his mother for the TV show as well. You know, mom is coming with him, right?
Yes, I'm not sure if she wants to be interviewed, but the young man could definitely use your wisdom and your support, and I would very much like Jesse to talk to him about boxing and maybe hook him up with Central Boxing Gym. They make such a difference in so many young men's lives.
Appreciate that, and Jesse said that he'll definitely be there with flying colors as well.
Oh, thank you. God bless all of you. I'm going to get off the air and listen to your show, sir.
Okay.
We appreciate that. Just stay tuned, Mr. Lawrence. Don't hang up.
All right, sir.
Welcome back, Ms. Guyton. And we just wanted to say we thank you for coming on the show, and we want to thank you for just allowing us to have this interview to educate others as well about what you have went through, because a lot of people that have it all, you know, I've been around millionaires and all of that majority of my life in another's life, you know. But a lot of cats don't understand what it is to have lights out, don't know what it is to be hungry. And if you never, ever have experienced that, you cannot tell another individual that, you know. So we want to just thank you for being humble enough to come on the show and spread that.
Not a problem, not a problem at all. I actually have enjoyed myself being on the show.
We appreciate that. And what advice, Ms. Guyton, would you give other young ladies and other young men who have done, who is still living in the life that you came from, like you said, the golf course and the house and all of that, you know, and that's living that life but don't understand that God can take all that away from you and make you humble? And while they have that, what advice would you give them to stay right there?
Be a blessing to other people. Know that your life is not your own and that you're here for a purpose. And your purpose is not a me-fi-me purpose, but it's a world purpose. And that, you know, not to have anyone take advantage of you, but to be a blessing and do for others, because one day you may need. And if you need and no one helps you, then that's the problem, you know. So I would tell a person in that position to continue to be in that position, that they need to become a blessing to other people.
Amen. And I have a motto that I grew up with too, Ms. Guyton, that I live by right to this day, you know. And my motto is I treat my brother and sister as I treat myself. And you don't have to be my blood brother. You don't have to be my blood sister by mom and dad. This is just what I was raised up under the old rules, you know. And I think that a lot of people that's not raised up under the old rules, and they get up into these new rules, and these new rules is not what's happening, you know, because a lot of cats get misconstrued, they get missided, they get sidetracked, and they not being taught right. So that's why I thank God for, you know, what me and my wife do with the movement to educate young kids out here and others as well, grown. And thank
him for bringing me to the same thing.
Yeah.
That's so wonderful what you guys are doing.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, my wife is the backbone behind a lot of things, you know. I'll be out front a lot of times, but my queen is definitely in that background, you know what I mean? Like they say, whipping that gumbo up, you hear me? To help the kids and to help the others. So I don't ever want nobody to get it twisted because they see me out front a lot, you know what I'm saying? Because the queen worked profusely. You know what I mean, to make things happen for the kids and others, you know. So I just want to give my queen a big shout-out for all she do as well with the movement.
Wonderful. You guys do a lot. I catch up with you guys on Facebook a lot, and I read, and I'm actually really informed with what's going on by looking at you guys' Facebook. So some things that have been going on in the world, I see how you guys have and get that information out, which I totally, totally applaud, because a lot of times, you're right, you know, we got these children out here that are not being raised correctly, that are not being taught, and we need to continue to have them informed, especially through social medias, because they're always on social medias. So I am so for that. I talk to the kids all the time. I try to get them to understand that some of these material things that gets them going gaga over is not, it's just what it is. It's materialistic. There's a bigger picture out there. You know, I'm not saying that materials don't help out certain things. You know, I'm not saying that being comfortable is not a good thing, but it's all about priority. And I try to tell these kids, I asked this one gentleman one time, he had like 25 pair of Jordans. And I'm like, at $200 a piece, let's count that.
Right.
But you're sitting here walking, you're not driving, you're not riding. And then he tells me, oh, I have fines that I got to pay to get my license back. Well, he could have took at least two or three of them Jordan to pay for that.
Right.
You know, and that's what I don't want the young kids to look at. You know what I mean? It's good to have nice things to, you know what I mean, wear around. But what you have to look at is at the end of the day, if you can't go in your pocket and buy yourself a hamburger or a bag of chips, what good is having material things on your feet and on your body and on your head, and you can't even go buy yourself, you know what I mean, a McDonald's. That's preposterous, you know? So we have to get things in order to the point where any individual know that you have to put self-reliance first, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Self-reliance means, you know, that's the first nature of law, is helping yourself, and then you're able to help others, you know? Because if you're not able to help yourself, you can't help nobody. So that's the
exactly.
message that I'm sending out to these young kids out here. You know, you have to get educated. You have to help yourself. You have to know what it is to have your own. You have to know what it is to take care of everything around you, you know,
mm-hmm.
and be aware of what's around you. And don't surround
yourself. We're not
teaching
the kids to be business owners. We're teaching kids to be laborers. And that's
Amen.
My biggest problem. And
Amen.
What I try to do is teach my own children and all the kids around me to become business owners. And though I do have formalized education, I don't preach formalized education. I just preach education. It doesn't
Probably
have to come from a university. It comes from reading and being around and understanding the world around you. It does not have to be formalized. So I try to tell them to educate yourself in whatever it is. Become versed in whatever it is that makes your desires just go. And do that for yourself and put together a plan or
right.
some type of objective and say, listen, on this day I expect myself to have this because I'm going to put these steps into place to move and to get those things. Now, it may not
right.
happen on that date, but I hate when people get dislike when people get discouraged because it didn't happen on that date, but at least you're moving towards something.
Exactly. And you know, me and my wife, we also preach self-reliance, you know what I mean, and self-own with these young children because, you know, I spoke to a young gentleman one time and told him, I say, well, why are you on Facebook all day long arguing with people that you don't even know? You should be asking somebody that's out here educated on how you start your own PayPal account, how you start your own business on the Internet. If you ain't doing nothing but selling socks, shoes, hats, whatever, you know what I'm saying? That is
mm-hmm.
your own thing. that is your own business. And you become self-reliance and self-help. And now you can reach back and help someone else get to the same plateau, you know. So I speak that all the time because, you know, we can't worry about what the government cutting. We can't worry about the government giving jobs. You as an individual have to worry about what do I have to offer myself to put mm-hmm. myself in the next plateau of life, and at the mm-hmm. same time I can show someone else how to do the same thing that was taught to me. So it's just a learning thing and an educating thing, and I push that real strong out here with these kids nowadays because they know more about the Internet than we do sometimes, you know what I mean? So it's time to get educated and enlightened on what really was happening out here.
Exactly, exactly. And I try to talk to the kids all the time in reference to, a lot of times it's sad because some of these kids, no one has ever asked them what their dreams and desires are.
Amen.
And they're walking around here with people and adults that don't, they, I guess the adults don't have anything themselves, so they don't even know what to ask these children. Because you ask one of these kids and you would be surprised how... yes, and what they would like to achieve, but they have absolutely nobody around them that can help them achieve that. So what we're trying to do with a couple of people that I know that are business owners is come together and form some type of educational group so that if a kid wanted to come to me and say, well, Whitney, how do you open up a healthcare service? How do you open up an LLC or S-Corp or C-Corp or anything like that? I can say, hey, listen, I'm going to teach you that. Or if you want to know how to be a contractor, what steps do you can you take to become a contractor? What Amen. Classes should I take? Who should I be around? We need to come together. That's what we're trying to do here is come together and have some type of organization where we can be able to teach these kids in whatever area that you want to learn it, because it has to have some type of education. You gotta want to learn. I keep trying to tell these kids, stop picking up rap lyrics every 5 seconds and know exactly everything on these songs, and pick up a book about something that you want to do with your life.
Amen, sister. You know. And on that note, Miss Guyton, we're gonna go to a commercial. We want everybody to hold on, and we'll be right back with Miss Whitney Guyton.
I knew I had hit rock bottom when I started shooting up. That was my lowest point because I just was like totally out of it. I wasn't even there no more. I was just gone. My name is Tanya. I am 15 years old. I'm from Douglas, Arizona. I started using meth when I was 12. Basically, my life was totally destroyed. I mean, I had ran away from home, and so I didn't have nowhere to go. I wore the same clothes every day. Like, I only showered, like, maybe twice a week. I didn't have nothing left. I mean, nothing at all. I didn't even have no shoes on my feet. I thought I knew everything. I was like, you know, I'm not going to get addicted to this drug. It's not going to hurt me at all. I can control myself. But in the long run, it, you know, I couldn't control it. It's like meth, controlled me.
Brought to you by the Arizona Meth Project.
All right, welcome back to the Streets on Love You Back Radio Show with Miss Whitney Guyton. And once again, we're talking about educating the kids, and we're talking about all the things that she went through and the pitfalls that she had to go through to get humble and understand that God still loved her no matter if she had money or didn't have money. And Miss Whitney had to learn that the hard way. But we're going to turn the mic over to my queen.
All right, thank you. Whitney, tell us a little bit about your youth services. It's called Strong Youth Services, and how you got that started and what you do, what services you offer.
Well, as I told you, I got the job at FedEx, and I had always wanted to open up my own group home because my actual first job was being a therapist at a institution for young boys who were going through what they called psychosexual issues. Basically, somebody harmed them, and they couldn't cope with it, and then they started harming other people. So I saw that they weren't really getting any help. It was just an institution, and all they cared about is how much these kids were bringing in. So I've always wanted to open up my own group home. So once I became back on the upside once I got with FedEx and got my own apartment again. And my landlord, who is now my business partner, shout out to Craig Antonio Jones, believed in me. I had talked to him and said, hey, you got 10 properties. I will, you have the properties, I have the program. Let's open up a group home. And I was at FedEx for like 3 months right before they were giving me a promotion. He came to me and he said he was praying, and that he'd been praying about some things because he's had other business partners that really hurt him. But he said for some reason, God said, go with this. So I was totally shocked. He put up one of his houses to do the group home and about $10,000, and all I had to come with was the write the program. It took us about a year to get our first house together, and we've named our company Strong Youth Services, and Strong is actually an acronym. It means striving to reach our new generation, because both of our hearts are in children.
Okay.
But unfortunately, when we first got our first home, the process for kids was taking so long that we went with young adults. And so we had to kind of change the course, but we didn't change the dream, because our main focus was reaching children. And eventually we were able to do that. We have mental health services for children who have mental health, of course, disorders, or have behavioral issues, because they like to put those stereotypes, ADD and ADHD, and sometimes children just need to change their diet and a couple other things and be fine. But we work with these children and their parents, and teaching the children and the parents how to cope with their mental health issues, and teaching the parents how to parent their child. We also work with the foster care program, and we have houses so that once a child is out of foster care and the foster parents don't want them anymore because they're 17 or 18 and they have nowhere to go, here in Virginia they can stay in the foster care program until about they're 24 if they're in school and are showing some progress, so they can come to our independent living program, and we teach them how to balance a checkbook, make sure that they're continuing their education, teach them how to maintain a household so that they can be on their own one day.
That's awesome.
So that's what Strong Youth Services is all about.
So do you just have one house right now?
Oh, no. Wow. We have about 1, 2, 3, 6, about 5 houses.
Wow, that's awesome.
And we also now starting to work with adults who have some issues. We're trying to open up a veterans program right now, a veterans program and a program for active duty military who came back from war, who have post-traumatic stress syndrome. Because what we have found, and let me make sure, that was in Arizona. It was, I think it was Idaho. I can't remember right now, but there was one town. I think it was actually in Colorado. I think it was an army, like a little army town. It was mostly army wives and things like that lived there. But in like one small army town, about 10 men committed suicide after returning home.
Wow.
In one community.
Wow. That's
hard. So, yeah, and there's a big issue with that. So we're trying to get grant money and other funding to help, and because we have the housing, I've opened up a small management company, so we are able to buy houses. That's the easy part. It's the getting them all the services and paying for all the services is the hard part, because there's no real funding for that.
Right.
So we're trying to get as much money and raise up as much money as we can to at least start one of these houses, so that we can be a help to not just the veterans, but also the young men and women coming back.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I think people forget about them, you know, and it's just as traumatic on them you know, going over and shooting at people as it is, you know, for those here that get abused or, you know, there's so many different forms of traumatic stress that I think some people just overlook.
You're very, very right. And I know that, unfortunately, in the Black community, we don't seem to believe that there could be some mental health issues, and we kind of slide it underneath the carpet type situation, but we can't continue to do that. You know, I love the Lord like everybody else, but we have to, you know, a guy gave us sense and knowing that sometimes we need help and somebody needs to talk to somebody, because if they don't, we've lost a lot of people, we've lost a lot of great Americans because no one's talking.
Right. Or they, you know, turn to alcohol and drugs that they're already given over there during the war, you know, with what they're doing. You know, they continue that out here, and it just gets worse because they don't seek help.
Exactly. We've seen a very high cases of that. Being here in Virginia, I'm around all the bases, you know, the biggest bases we have in the United States. Everything around here is Navy, Air Force, Marine type thing.
So we
see it on an everyday continuum. Even one of my best friends, he has had two tours in the Army. He has two tours, and he has not been the same man.
Right.
He's not been the same man. So my heart, I have a new passion since I've been here in Virginia. So we're trying to, well, not trying to, we have opened our doors, and now we have strong adult services. We have strong youth, strong family, and strong adult services.
Well, that's awesome.
So
well, what do we see with the correlation of actual post-traumatic stress disorder from veterans being part of the homeless community?
I actually have a house in a city called Suffolk that is geared towards the homeless population. We do something here every 6 months called the Homeless Connection, where all these different vendors come together. Like if you cut hair, there's like a hair cutting and a beauty section, there's doctor sections, and we all are under one roof, and the homeless are able to come in and get all the services that they could possibly need. If they need to get teeth or anything like that checked out, if they need birth certificates, things like that. So we're and what I've noticed is that most of the homeless population here are vets.
Wow.
And that's the sad part. You know, we should be taking care of our veterans.
That's a good idea, though, to do that, the Homeless Connection.
It's awesome. They do it here every 6 months at one of the arenas. It's a really great thing. We have one section that's social services. They help people who can't or don't have any IDs, so they can't get their birth certificate. So they help them, people who want a haircut, if you want to take a shower, get clean, you know, if you want someone to look at your eyes, if something was, you know, anything, it's everything under one roof. And there's also a housing section. That's where I'm usually at, in the housing section, because if we have any openings, we're there. Even if I don't have openings, we're there giving out brochures and cards and things like that, because I tell them, just because I don't have an opening today does not mean I'm not going to have an opening tomorrow.
Right, exactly.
So we do our best.
Well, it sounds like you're doing an awesome job. And so after that, you opened up your Flow Consulting. And what exactly do you do there?
When I was opening up my first group home, I didn't have any help. People were very, very mean. No one wanted to help me. So I opened up a consulting agency that what we do is for anybody who wants to open up any type of healthcare service, it doesn't just have to be mental health, we will do all the stuff for them to get a licensed facility and make sure that the people are getting serviced correctly. And we do that all over the United States. All over the United States, we help people, and everyday people who have a house. And they say, hey, I have a house. My heart is for teenage foster care girls who are pregnant. We want to open up a house for them. How do we do it? My company comes in and does the whole entire thing for them. Or it could be some big land investor who says, I want to open up an assisted living facility for the elderly. I don't know how to get that done. How do you do it? They call us. We come do it for them.
All right. That's awesome.
Yep.
Yeah,
and we also maintain them, too, to make sure that they're still running ethically. That's the biggest thing.
So you help them follow through with everything.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Yeah, you know, what I was thinking, you know, that what is so needed right now, too, is facilities for ex-offenders who are coming out of prison. You know, they need a place to come and kind of like halfway houses, I guess, but to be able to learn how to dress and how to, you know, do a resume or do a, you know, a, just go through an interview process or, you know, just kind of educating them how to get back into the communities. And you know, a lot of them haven't even, you know, used cell phones or computers or, you know, haven't worked in 10 years or whatever, you know. And they're sent home and expected to pay fines and fees and do this and do that. And, you know, a lot of them don't know how to do it or don't know what to do, and then they end up doing what they know best, and that's going back to the streets. And it's just like a revolving door, it seems like.
It is. I actually own 25% of a motel, and we started the renovations. We gutted the whole thing, and we were actually I put out an application through the Justice Department to take ex-offenders because this place was perfect. It sat on the water. It was kind of off. It was part of a main street, so that if, you know, they needed to get on buses and things like that, and being that we are a mental health company, we can do any type of mental health or anything like that and also give them independent living skills and everything. So we wrote a proposal. They loved it. And they were going, they passed us. We made the rooms be great for them and everything. Then the funding dried up. So we have a hotel, it's a motel, still just sitting there with absolutely no one.
That's crazy. Got to get some funding for that one.
Yeah, with no funding. So it's sad because it's 18 rooms. It's beautiful. It's really nice grounds. It, you know, because a lot of people were scared about, you know, people, ex-offenders and all this other stuff, but it's in a great location where no one's going to bother them and they can't bother anyone else, and it's not so far away that they couldn't, because, like, it's crazy. The driveway to the motel is on a major street, but once you go through the driveway, it opens up to this oasis.
Right.
And the Justice Department loved it. They loved it. It came out. People from the prisons came out. And they're like, oh, this is great, this is great. And they're like, oh, and we were so excited because we're like, this is going to make a big difference, because the majority of the people that come out of prison here have absolutely nowhere to go. So you're right, they get right back on the streets. They end up committing other crimes. They haven't seen a cell phone or know how to work a computer. How are you going to be able to get a job if they can't? All these jobs right now, every application is online.
Right, exactly.
So how are they going to get anything? We were going to give them job skills. We were going to open up detailing shops so that they could, you know, do stuff. But funding ran out, and we have an empty building.
Wow. That's crazy. That's an awesome idea to get the funds for that. I think, you know, there's so many of our young men and women in prison that are not so young anymore. They're, you know, they've done their time, they're getting out. There's, you know, so many of the baby boomer eras are, you know, they're getting older, they're getting, you know, expensive to take care of in there because they're sick and they're, you know, what are they going to do with these people?
They don't care.
You send the elderly people home sick so you don't have to pay for them in prison. Where are they going to go? What are they going to do? You know, they don't have the funding or the money or anything to take care of themselves.
Exactly. And now they can't receive any type of governmental benefits. They can't receive Medicaid. They can't receive disability.
Once they're in prison, they can't?
It depends on the situation.
Okay.
That's it depends crazy. On the situation, because a lot of times, you know, with disability, it also it goes off of how much you put into the Social Security.
Right.
And if you have, if you spent 30, 40 years or even 20 years in prison, and you went to prison, let's say when you're 20, and now you're 45 or 50, you know, you spent all your technically working years in prison. So what do you qualify for?
Nothing.
Exactly. And then
and there's
we
a
don't...
lot of them coming home now after the 70s and 80s, and you know, everybody's coming home now after 20 years and 25 years, and it's hard.
It's hard, and my heart goes out for them, because I had this young lady. She wanted to stay in one of my homes, but she was a sex offender, and I couldn't have her in one of my homes. And we sat down, and we had a very long talk. And come to find out, it was that I talked to other people in her family, and so I kind of really believe this young lady, that her boyfriend, she had custody of her nieces. Her boyfriend was abusing the girls. She did not know. When it came to her attention, she is the one who called the police. Well, her boyfriend said she knew and all this other type of stuff, so they convicted them both.
Wow.
And she, to this day, I mean, I met her nieces and things like that, and they're very upset that their aunt went to jail because she did not know. But he had this story that she knew and this, that, and that. And then the police were like, well, she had to have known and all this other type of stuff. So now she's walking around here. She's been in jail for 15 years. No education, no job skills, no anything, and can't even go into any type of social program because she's a registered sex offender.
Wow. Yeah, that's deep. You know what I mean? When you get them, you know, them plagues on you like that, that's kind of hard for you to even maneuver in society, for real, you know?
Yep, I know. And I try so hard to advocate for her and try to get her in places and see if I can, you know, finagle something or anything like that, and it was nothing because of that stipulation. I'm like, you know, we need to reopen this. And I know it's so many cases to reopen. But, you know, sometimes I get upset, totally upset with our crooked justice system.
Oh, amen for that, good sister, you know, because they definitely got their hand out, you know what I mean? Right money can buy anything with that, you know, and if you ain't got that, you might well go and sit on down, you know, period.
Exactly. Yeah. It's hard, you know, I had to sit down with my sons today and say, you know, I'm worried about you. And they're looking at me like, why, Mom? What's wrong with you? I'm like, because y'all can walk down the street because we live in a gated community and get shot. And they're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, it's all over the place now. It ain't just in the hood.
It's not just in the hood. And I'm like, you know, I never really thought about it that, you know, my kids, because they're young, but, you know, walking down the street and somebody profiles them, you know, nowhere are you safe, and you can't be oblivious to what's going on in the world. So I'm trying to teach my kids at 11 and 9, that, hey, this, you know, is society. This is real life. Because my kids don't really live in real life at times, even though we teach them a lot, and they go with us with certain things, and they understand business, and they understand that they have a lot. But our community is so mixed, and everybody is so inviting and warm, that the other side of things, they don't have, understand. And it's sad because our Justice Department is so crooked and don't care, and they have privatized prisons, which to me should be totally illegal. You shouldn't be certain companies, you know, that own prisons. We would be surprised. We would be so surprised of what these mainstream companies that we eat their products, we brush our teeth with their products, own prisons.
Right.
Bottom line, you know, and that's going to be another show, you know?
Yeah.
Definitely. And
I will be listening to that one.
Yeah, just want to say,
Miss Bright. Yeah, don't get me started on that one.
Yeah, just want to say we really appreciate you coming on the show tonight, you know. And is there any advice would you give these youths of today and others, you know, before we depart?
Dream big. Dream extremely big. Write down your dreams. And if you don't know how to achieve them, find somebody that can help you achieve them. Start putting it out in the atmosphere that you need help with a certain particular thing. Never stop talking about your dreams. Never stop pursuing them. Never put it down. It's hard. We all get discouraged. I got discouraged. I wanted to off myself. But don't think, write down, dream, and always have desires.
Amen. You know, and if anybody would like to get in touch with your either one of your companies, give them that information.
You can get in contact with both companies, or all my companies, through this one toll-free number. It is 888-391-5944.
All right. Do you have a website?
Yes. You can visit our company, Strong Youth Services, at www.strongyouthservices, S-E-R-V-I-C-E-S.com.
All right. And also, when you get time, Ms. Guyton, log on to our movement page at thestreetsdon'tloveyouback.name.com and put all your information up there as well. And that's where you'll be in the movement circle. And we can also put that out there in the atmosphere in the universe to people that might need your services.
Oh, that's just wonderful. That's wonderful. If anyone, if you guys call that 800 number and would like to reach me personally, just let anybody in the office know and leave your information, and I will return phone calls. Want to talk, figure out how I did it, I will have no hesitation.
Amen, you know. And I'm going to turn the mic over to the queen, and I just want to say we appreciate you coming on the show. And, you know, keep spreading that message and keep giving back to others. And that's how you continue getting yours.
Thank you so much, you guys. I've had a ball, and I appreciate you both.
Well, we appreciate you and you being, you know, coming on to the show this late at night and sharing your story and letting everybody know. I mean, the services that you do are just awesome, and we're glad to learn about them and help you spread the message about them.
No problem. I will do it anytime. When you guys talk about privatized prisons, I will be listening.
We'll let you know when we do, so you can call in and share
your
story.
I'm going to be calling.
I've been putting a lot of posts up about that because, that's just a whole other show. But, yeah, it makes me really upset. So we'll have to do a show on that pretty soon. I'm sure that'll be a hot one.
I'm sure.
Okay. Well, we thank you, Whitney, for coming on, and you know, keep in touch with us, and we'll talk again soon. You know, we just thank you for sharing your time with us tonight.
Thank you guys so much too.
You're welcome.
And I will be contacting you guys soon. Excuse me. And I just want to say thank you guys for your movement and giving people a forum.
You're welcome. Thank you. We're going to go out with a song tonight by a young man out of Detroit. We're just waiting any time now for his first single to come out. He's represented by Grand Slam Records, and this is Kendall Day.
I like that. It's Kendall Day. Lost without you. Can't help myself. How does it feel to know that I love you, baby? Lost without you. God. You wanna touch yourself when you see me. Tell me how you love my body. How I make you feel, baby. You wanna roll with me. You wanna hold with me. You wanna stay warm and get out of the cold with me. I just love to hear you say it. It makes a man feel good, baby. I need to hear it because
sunny
days,
everybody loves them. Tell me, baby, can you stand the rain?
Can you stand the rain?
Storms will come.
Yeah, yeah.
This we know for sure.
This we know
tell
for
me,
sure.
Baby, can you stand the rain?
I can, so I'ma hit this drink up like it's my last. I'ma hit this night up like it's my last. I'ma do you like it's my last. I swear I'ma do it like I never had it last. Like I never had it last. Tell me you won't break my heart.